Right to Rock.
Hey, how you doing? I'm your announcer, Joey Clams, and you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show, where a couple of metalheads talk about hard rock and heavy metal while drinking and writing craft beers from around the country. And don't forget to stick around after tonight's festivities for a one-on-one interview with our featured guest.
This is Jamie from Roxanne, and I give you the right to rock.
For two guys who are so metal, they use aluminum foil for toilet paper, it's Genghis and Ragman.
What are we in, December over here, finishing up the year?
Exactly. Last couple of days of the year.
We decided to take the show on the road.
That's what I'm talking about.
Over here at Buffalo Bayou Brewing Company here in H-Town.
Clutch City?
Yeah, Clutch City. Their Clutch City IPA is pretty nice.
Nice.
I dig.
Now, that's not the one we're having, but it's...
No, we're about
we're
to
doing
have
the little brewery tour. And, of course, here's a shock. Ragman had to pick an IPA.
Weird.
Who'd have thought? Which one is it? Just out of curiosity.
We have the Citrus Season IPA.
Is that what
it is?
Citrus
it's like season? A seasonal. Right on the website, it's almost kind of like a hazy IPA, which is what I'm really into right now.
So they're for
a
real,
bit,
dude.
A little richer. I don't know if it's a true New England style. New England style are typically richer.
So that's your bit. Is this your jam? Is you're all about those?
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Hey, now... This is a dumb question. Are all the New England IPAs hazy, or is there some that are not?
They're supposed to be, but some are less hazy than others.
Fair enough.
So it's just because how they're unfiltered or what have you. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
I'm into that.
This one here, I guess we could... It's got a little haze to it. I drink some you can't even see out of it.
Oh, yeah? I kind of like those, because they kind of remind me of a good Hefeweizen or something.
Yeah.
Not that they're the same, but...
Like Ghost in the Machine.
Yep, there you go.
That was the first one I gave you, and you're like, holy shit, this ain't so bad.
I was like, hey-o.
So, I don't know if we want to break the beer before we chuck into some music over here, but Genghis is getting attacked by a dog.
Okay.
I like dogs. How you doing, dog? Get some big old ears on him.
He's getting attacked over there.
No, well, Buffalo Bay Brewery is a dog-friendly brewery,
hey,
so...
Genghis. I thought we left him at home.
I did think... I thought we left him at home. Did Apparently
it,
not.
Did it hump your leg?
No.
If we completely embarrassed okay.
though, that's all he would have known.
No, well, hey, I don't even know how he got here. We left him at... We had lunch at Velvet Taco here in Houston. It's kind of like doing these craft taco bars and stuff.
And we ditched him there, I thought.
Yeah. Well, he... Who orders a double goat cheese?
Nothing but goat cheese, yeah.
On corn.
Yeah.
And they looked at him a little weird, and he was just smiling the whole time. It was really weird. We sat away from him. He's like, hey, where are you guys going? I was like, hey, we're just going to get our tacos, and we have to have a brief meeting. So he was eating his taco, and they escorted him out. Because he was making such a scene in there.
Escorted him.
Yeah.
That's a nice word for what they did.
Exactly.
They threw him out on his ass.
And you were, the goat cheese was just drip. I don't even want to know anymore.
At that point, I was like, let's get in the car quick before he figures out where we are.
No joke. Well, and you made the mistake of saying, hey, we're going to go to the brewery after
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't have.
So
oh well.
But
maybe he'll sweep up or something.
Exactly.
To earn his beer.
So we got the citrus season. Before we even jump into the music, we're going to do a beer first because actually within the context of this show, we're probably going to have three. We're splitting beers,
sort
rating
of a flight
beers.
Thing because we're doing the tour over here at Buffalo Bayou Brewery. And we love a lot of their beers.
Oh, yeah.
And this is like end of the year sort of things. A lot of people are doing this. Hay Merchant, for instance, the last 3 days of the year, they're having $3, all their drafts are $3.
Freaking
so I'm like,
sweet.
That's not a bad deal because they got some amazing drafts.
Oh, yeah.
But I figure they're probably overrun with all the hipsters there running to get beer.
Well, we were making the joke that they're probably all the kegs had gone bad.
Yeah,
they're just clearing
it's
the
like
shit
Skunk
out.
Fest 2018. Enjoy our shittiest beer.
No refunds.
But this is, I love Buffalo Bayou, so it's good to be here, and I can't wait to try
it.
So you say this one is a citrus
season.
A season IPA, interesting name. It is 7.1% ABV, apparently.
What? Yeah.
That's not the session one you were talking about, right? You said there was a session one.
Well, this one's 6.6 is what they say on the sign over
here. Okay, so this is, maybe I'm reading an old one from Beer Advocate. I don't know any more about them as far as the actual beer itself.
They basically called it like a citrus hazy IPA.
Oh, okay.
Not really calling it the New England style, but it's probably as close as you're going to get here.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, it's kind of hazy.
Yeah, it's got a nice look to it. What would you rate the look? I would give that 3.5, 4.
I was going to say 3.5.
I'm thirsty for it.
Yeah, 3.5 works for me. The look is, 3.5.
Hazy,
I'd say the
nice
smell.
Nice lacing.
Yep, it's real sudsy.
I like it.
What is the...
Smell. I don't know if it's still tainted from that last one we had.
It might be, actually, because we started with an actual session, right?
Yeah,
the Great White Buffalo, I think it is, which is like their session sort of base beer.
And typically, they'll wash out your glass, let you just start pouring. I'm like, okay, whatever.
All right, maybe they're not going to do that.
Right. So,
three
not
and
much
three,
aroma.
Three and a half on the aroma? Let's go three.
Cheers.
Let's do it. Enjoy.
Bitter.
Very bitter. Wow. Real piney.
I don't get the piney. I get really, really bitter.
Huh.
Almost like an English bitter.
Mm. Okay, I see what you're saying.
That?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't taste the hoppiness or pininess.
Like an ESB
or
something?
It's kind of malty, right?
Yeah, like a...
But there is a nice citrus edge in there.
It's like a Fuller's or something. Isn't that their name? The ESB, the English beer?
It's not bad.
It's a little
okay.
too. See, this is the IPAs I'm not so keen on.
Well,
where it's really just hopped up.
I don't taste the hops so much.
You don't taste hops, huh?
So
what's making that taste? Because to me, it seems piney. But I'm just thinking because it's an IPA in my head. I'm thinking piney.
It's very bitter.
What would cause the bitterness if not the hops?
You know what I think it is?
What?
It's almost like a rind.
Oh, okay.
It's malty. I don't like malty IPAs, to be honest.
You think that kind of messes with the flavor?
It kind of takes away from the flavor.
Part of the flavor is the hoppy, citrusy.
I kind of steer away from malty IPAs.
Hop.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's not bad, but it's not blowing me away. But I think it's really bitter due to the rind. If you think about it, if you hit the back of that palate with it, you see it gets real bitter. Mm. It almost tastes like orange rind.
Okay, I know what you mean. You may be right. Yeah, I don't know how they make it. I didn't see the... the makeup of it, or what do they make out of it?
I didn't read the description up there, but...
Yeah, I was looking for it, and I couldn't see it on their site. Let me go back so I can see their site while we're doing this.
All I remember
reading... So what would you rate it, then, as
three.
Far as the taste? A 3?
I give it a 3.
And what about the mouthfeel, or is that the mouthfeel?
I would probably say overall it's probably a solid 3.
Yeah?
I wouldn't knock it to a 2.5, but that bitterness is really kind of turning my taste buds off a bit.
A bit? Yep. Yeah, it's kind of, it's a little funky for me. Like I said, it seems to me mostly piney, but I might just be reading that off of something else. Maybe I'm wrong.
Their
description on the website, citrus season IPA, closest you'll get without squeezing it into a glass. It says celebrating the winter citrus harvest, which is an appropriate beer.
Yeah.
Citrus season IPA exudes bright citrus flavor. Featuring rotating citrus adjuncts, this year's iteration boasts big and brilliant grapefruit citrus notes with a subtle blood orange tartness.
Maybe it's that grapefruit. Oh, hold on. John's in the corner. They're escorting John out.
That's probably for the best.
He was over there air guitaring into Bon Jovi.
To the Bon Jovi.
Yeah, thanks for the help with the sound.
It's kind of a classic.
What was he drinking? Was he drinking earlier? He kind of stunk.
He always seems that way, but it doesn't necessarily have to be alcohol that makes that happen.
True. So John's gone, so guys...
I wish they had some of this cranberry wit. That sounds pretty nice. I mean, they got a nice little selection, so I'm not trying to downplay that.
We're going to try something else.
What's up, Doug?
I picked the first one because I read this one. I thought, it kind of sounds interesting. Being into IPAs like I am, too, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yep.
But Angus will have the next pick, so I'm curious to see what he's going to get. And these are small pours, so like I said, we'll have at least 3.
Yeah, we don't want to get too jacked up just from drinking beer all day long.
Yeah, totally.
But, like I said, we started with the White Buffalo, which I like. It's a nice, simple beer. It's not too piney. It's not too hoppy, but it's not too malty either. It's kind of in the middle. It's a real good sort of, I don't know if you call it a palate cleanser, but I mean, it's pretty good stuff. I mean, they use that as the base for the Great Blue Buffalo, where they add the blueberries into it.
I would like to try that.
Then they've got the Double Buffalo, where that one's an 8.9. They really pop that up. It's like an Imperial Copper Ale. And what else they got? They got Sam's Strawberry Shortcake, I think, might be based on that, too.
I wanted to try that, too.
I know. It's like, hopefully they'll have some of that in here.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, we're always happy with their beers. They have the Mexican Hot Chocolate I can't wait to get to. Because I don't remember if we had that
for
our Christmas show.
Did
we did?
In the bottle, we weren't blown away, but it wouldn't hurt trying it on
draft.
Maybe
on draft, yeah.
Yeah.
Here at the Skunk Fest.
I'm liking this the more I drink it, to be honest.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'm kind of getting used to it. I'm not a huge, like we all know, I'm not a huge hoppy beer guy, but this isn't bad.
But maybe, I wonder if our palates weren't right after that Belgian. Because the Great White Buffalo is like a Belgian style.
Like a wit. I think he said it was like a wit.
Yeah, Belgian wit. Yeah. And that's what it said on the little mug over there when we got in here. So, anyway, so solid 3, or you want to bump it up? Or
easily
lower
a solid 3.
Or?
No, I think easily a solid 3, maybe even a 3.5. But a 3 I'll go with.
Okay.
3, I think
would,
I'm right in the middle there.
3.5 after it's kind of warmed up and my palate's adjusting.
So they got the big black cowbell up
it's,
there?
It's not quite as bitter the more you get into it, for me, at least. But who knows?
I'm hip.
I guess we'll pick out some music to play here and then start with the topic. Maybe right. We'll go to another beer, too. I don't know.
Why not?
We're getting low over here already.
Exactly.
Look at this.
We can't have that. Ugly sight.
You got anything in mind?
Yeah, actually, I've been jamming to my friend out in Hollywood. You know Eric.
Yeah.
I always talk about him. He's been listening to some guys. He listens to a lot of music while he's writing. And one of them is a guy out of Australia called Pliny. Like Pliny the Elder. The guy. There's a beer called that. Based off some old Roman
story. Oh, dude, and that beer is supposed to be amazing.
It's one of those white whale beers that everyone says is like,
it's out of California.
And I think you can only get it out there, right? You can't get it in bottles anywhere.
Well, yeah, you can get it there, or you might be able to catch it on draft somewhere out there, but not here. and a little bummed out because, man, I really want to try
that. Everyone says it's unreal. So anyway, Pliny, though, is the name of this guy who's an instrumental prog dude out in Australia, and he's got an album out. Well, he's got a bunch of albums out, but the one I was listening to this morning on the radio was Cascade is the name of the song. So dig this. It's got some amazing stuff in it. So important.
There's a band that I'm into. I can't remember. They're called Black Pearl or Black Ink River or something like that. I was going to look them up.
Well, like a power metal or something?
70s retro thing.
Nice.
I meant to bring in my iPod and I forgot.
Nice.
Son of a bitch. What do you think? Should we get another beer?
Maybe we should.
You gotta promise me, no more bullshit.
Hey, Cap, you know I'm cool, but I can take no responsibility for these white devils.
The right to rock.
Hey, man, I just went and got a beer. I don't know if you can hear it in the background. John's got, I don't know where he found a trench coat, but he's got a boombox. He's doing the whole Say Anything out there, and he's playing Information Society, that Pure Energy song.
Pure Energy, don't.
Yeah.
I like that song.
You see him? Look
just
at him.
It's funny. Yeah.
What the fuck's he doing?
I think it's best if we just, if we ignore him, he might go away.
Should we call the cops? Or I wonder if they have yet.
Yeah, I was going to say. They're probably going to get a SWAT team.
Dude,
really.
He was hopped up on goofballs or something today. So anyway, I just went and got us another beer. And unfortunately, we really need to disassociate ourselves with that guy.
Tell me about it.
So we, I picked up the Vanilla Mocha Sunset. Actually, I was asking about the Wake and Bake while I was up there. And it's one of those kind of coffee beers, and it's a blonde. So it's not your typical, what you would think is porter
right.
style.
I think it's
like
the
that.
Sam's, but with coffee, I think is the idea. The Sam's.
I want to say there was chocolate in there, too. So.
Oh, really?
I don't. Have we ever had the Wake and Bake?
I think I've had it. I don't know if we had it on the show.
Oh, okay.
But I think they take the Sam's Daily and then they add like coffee to it. I think it's
I got you. You gotta say you give me a sample next time I was up.
Cool.
Because like, why not now, pal?
I know. What are you talking?
What's the problem?
I don't know. Where are you going, sissy? So this is the Vanilla Mocha Sunset you got, eh?
Yes.
When this is 7.2 ABV. And this is, let me just read it. It says here, this is our third collaboration with Houston's very own Amaya Roasting Company. First collab with Buffalo Sunset, coffee loaded with hops. Then they suited up in a yoga pants and got WGW on our pumpkin spice latte, Holmes.
Nice.
This time we brought the malty chocolate notes forward, cut out all the hops, and smoothed out the coffee's roast with a round vanilla mouthfeel and finish. That sounds excellent. It says here, it pairs best with donuts, bacon, and ice cream all at once.
Oh, dude, that sounds badass.
I know, so let's go for it. I mean, it looks like your basic, what is it, kind of a, is it a porter,
looks like a porter stout. I mean, it's dark.
Yeah.
Does it say if it's a stout or a porter?
No, it says here, when making coffee beers, most breweries play it safe with a porter or a stout. Simple recipes for simple minds, I suppose. So, let's see, I don't know if it says it.
We're not going to bloody tell you, mate.
I know. If you can't figure it out, you don't need to have it. But, you know, coffee, chocolate, and vanilla is a nice combo. So
yeah, you can't beat that combination.
I mean, again, nice, beautiful, sudsy, like soapy lace.
Yeah, totally.
And can't see any. I mean, hardly any light coming through that sucker. It's like a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
So that's it. Kind of looks like that. Actually, think about it. Almost like a cup of coffee.
It does. I'd give that about a four.
I watch the comedians having coffee or whatever. Seinfeld.
Seinfeld.
It's a pretty good show. And whenever they show it's like coffee porn, dude. When they're pouring that coffee, it's just like, that shit looks delicious, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it makes me want to have coffee. So that's what this reminds me of. So it's got I'd give it a four on the look. What's the aroma?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that smells nice. I'd give that a four on the smell. Yeah, if we're not bothering you, I don't want to take you with me.
I smell the coffee. It smells great.
That's nice, yeah. I give that a four. Mm,
yeah, me too.
Let's jump into this baby. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers to you.
You know the rest. That's nice.
Very, very watery. Mm-hmm. Very upfront with coffee. I don't really taste the vanilla, do you?
I bet you that comes later on. They say that it's got a... subtle hints. This is their tasting notes. Heavy aromatic notes of Amaya coffee up front. Subtle hints of vanilla and dark chocolate malt for a full-bodied finish. So, and obviously, like we know, we've learned the temperature starts to really change the taste. Yeah. So as it maybe warms up. But I like it. I think that's good. I think taking out some of the hops helps. Because I think they had a previous version or something like it where the hops was a lot more forward in it. And I just... coffee and hops don't seem to make sense together.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I'm a little bummed out there's not more of a hint of the vanilla, because that's kind of what they're selling here.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of the chocolate bitterness.
Yep.
But no vanilla.
So you're pissed, is what you're saying.
A little bit.
I'm going to trash this place.
I'm going to crack skulls.
That's right. Heads are going to roll.
No shit.
Some heads are going to roll.
Let's do it. Okay, guys, don't get depressed here. We're all talking beer, but we are going to talk some music here in a minute.
Getting something off your chest over there?
Well, I was trying to find this freaking...
Tell me about it. You spent the last 10 minutes with your eyeballs coming out.
No, like I was trying to find this band. They're on my freaking iPod, and I forgot to bring it in, of course. So, excellent for me.
The Ghost iPod?
Yes. So, anyway, I was going to play something off it, and maybe I will.
Oh,
just don't
how about
know.
That? Dealer's choice.
I'll show you. So, actually, the first thing I want to mention, big news that came out here recently. Van Halen reuniting with Michael Anthony, a rumor, of course. But
rumor
apparently
spread
Roth,
by...
Roth was interviewed by some site called Vulture.com or some bullshit
Vulture,
like that.
Okay. Yeah, one of those shitty online mags.
He said that we're going to do the original thing this summer. So by mentioning that, I mean, he didn't say McElhinney's back, the original thing. So it could be...
It could mean like maybe from the first album or something like that.
Yeah, because the album just turned 40 years old or something.
Oh, wow, nice. Yeah, 76, right? Is that what it came out? Was it 77?
78.
Oh, okay, 78. Wow.
So
it's amazing that it came out in the 70s.
But he hinted that if they did it, it would be a stadium-style tour with other big acts, and I think he mentioned Metallica. Oh. But he mentioned some of these other, like... country bands and shit like
what?
That. I'm like, don't do that to me.
Yeah, because I know he did a country thing, right? What he did
that, a real blues thing.
He had like a bluegrass thing is what he did.
Yeah, bluegrass.
Like bluegrass covers of like, well, did
I think his name's Chris Stapleton. Sort of a big guy with heavy, looks like a lumberjack, like Zach Wilde or something.
Yeah, I think so.
And he got some play. I heard his music. I thought it sucked. I mean, I'm not into that,
that's
right?
Just me. So. Who knows, man? I didn't listen to any of the stuff when he was doing that business.
But I think the biggest name he mentioned was, like, Metallica. And then my ears perk up. I'm like, would they do another Monsters of Rock like they did back in the 80s?
Yeah.
Late 80s with Hagar when they're on the OUA1 tour. Tour. That would be badass.
That would be.
Remember, it was Van Halen, Scorpions, Metallica, and Justice for All right before it came out.
Damn.
Dokken.
That's the thing. I'm trying to think of if you went with a 78 thing.
Yeah.
Who else was big in 78? Probably Saxon was probably. They were around, weren't they?
I wouldn't see them paired up with Van Halen so much. So.
No, really? Because that's what I'm trying to think. I mean, you
new
can't.
Because
Metallica isn't.
Well, Scorpions were big.
Okay, because like Metallica was until like, what, 82 or something?
Yeah,
like early 80s. So
yeah.
It doesn't really
Sabbath,
match.
But
so I don't think of it matching with
done.
Van Halen.
Sabbath's know? Done.
Because they're like thrash,
but
although their first album was not like
that. I don't
that.
Think, I think what they would do to try to appeal to the masses is make it like almost a little festival, like almost an Ozfest, but Van Halen Fest.
Right.
It'd be mixed. It wouldn't be all one genre. I think it would be mixed genres. So maybe some hip-hop, maybe some country.
See, I don't
maybe
think that's a good idea.
I don't either. I think it's a horrible idea.
It's going to be the wrong fan crowd. They'll be like, what is this?
But by Dave mentioning, hey, we could do Metallica, we could do Chris Stapleton.
Right.
You know, I forget some of the other people he mentioned.
Yeah.
But I would go for Van Halen. Because I would go... Believe me, I want to see Michael back in the band because we've talked about that dynamic a million times.
And that's the thing. My concern is the people that are going to rush to buy tickets are saying they're Van Halen fans, old school Van Halen fans. Old school Van Halen fans aren't going to want to see a fucking hip-hop band.
Right.
They'll be like, what's this crap? So you want to, obviously, I mean, this has got to be like concert organization 101, but it's like, so you find bands that would be a similar sound to that. That's why I go, well, what other hard rock bands were out in the late 70s?
Right.
And it wasn't Metallica
Foreigner.
As much as I may like Metallica.
Foreigner.
Foreigner? I guess.
I mean, they've
you know
been
what I mean? You're going for a certain
Journey.
Crowd.
Journey.
Wouldn't that be awesome to get back with Journey with Steve joining
oh,
back?
Oh, fuck yeah.
You would freak out, dude.
Oh, and I just as I was pulling up my Gmail, it was talking about Neil Sean says he's not responsible for Journey not touring in 2019. So there's him and, I guess, Jonathan Cain are still not getting along.
The keyboardist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they have differences in opinion on political views or whatever.
Oh, weird. So maybe one dude's a conservative, the other's a liberal or something. They're just like, I ain't going to play with that guy.
Jonathan Cain was like involved with Trump's. She's like, his wife is involved politically.
With the campaign with somehow or something?
The Republicans or something
oh,
like that.
Wow.
And maybe Neil's more of a...
Oh, he's a Bay Area dude, so you know he's probably totally on the left.
Democrat, so, yeah.
Yeah, so, that's wild. You wouldn't think that'd come between them, but that's weird.
Well, they did that big tour with Def Leppard, and apparently they put their differences to the side, but maybe they've crept back up. I don't know. I didn't read the article yet.
Yeah, but still, you wonder, it's like, what do you care what I mean? It's like saying, well, I'm a Jewish guy, and then the other dude's like, well, I'm a Christian. It's like, and we have differences. It's like, what's that going to do with us playing music, dude? You know what I mean? Didn't have a problem with us making the albums back in the day. So that's weird that would be a problem.
Yeah, so I don't know what, I haven't read the story, but I'm going to be curious to read it. But as far as the Van Halen thing is, dude, I'm there regardless because I've been wanting to see him again.
Uh-huh.
But with Anthony, forget about it.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. In reality, of your average fan that listens to Van Halen on their classic rock stations or what have you, do they even know that Michael Anthony's no longer in the band?
They might not.
Seriously.
They might not, actually. It's funny to say that, but it wouldn't surprise me.
I don't think it's going to put more butts in the seats.
Yeah.
My guess is, I've been hearing this for a while, that Wolfgang wanted to do a solo record and tour. And that was supposed to go out. And he's been playing in Tremonti's band.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because they're big boroughs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
It's let's do this thing with Mikey again.
Can we share with y'all?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Put our differences to the side.
Uh-huh.
And just get the original thing going.
Right.
But they have not come out and actually said, hey, he said, we're doing the original thing. And everybody's reading into it. Michael Anthony's back in the band.
Right.
And Michael Anthony's like, I hadn't talked to those guys since 2007 or whatever.
He's like, what are you guys talking about?
And last time I saw Alex Van Halen, it was like small talk.
Wow.
It's like, go fuck yourself. That type of thing.
Wow. Yeah, that's the thing. I'm not surprised because he's right. You said he's hanging out with Sammy?
Sammy, yeah. Well,
yeah,
the Circles got their first release ever, studio record, coming out next month, in January. All right? Could be coming out this month.
Yeah. Huh. That's
in rock to rock, in Right to Rock time. It could have been out for a month by the time you hear this.
You have to wonder, though, because here, if you think about it, when he says, when Roth says the original thing, I don't know that he's astute enough to think, oh, what the fans really wanted. Because I don't think Roth, not to down talk him, I don't really know the guy, but I would have a feeling that Roth doesn't really have an idea what the fans want, and much less, quote unquote, give a shit. You know what I mean? He just says, I want to make money. I want people to come,
well,
you know,
sure,
pay to see me.
If he hears on the message boards that, hey, you guys got to get Anthony back.
That's the thing. It's like, I don't know that he's looking at message boards. You know what I mean? Well, I think he's too much of a like, hey, what's up, dude, that he doesn't give a shit about that.
Well, let me ask you this. You've had two opportunities to see Van Halen since they got back with Roth.
Yeah.
And you passed twice. Does Anthony back in the band move you to go? Or do you
I might
a desire to go?
I kind of don't, to be honest. I know that sounds weird, but just all the stuff I've heard, you know, it's like, I mean, you know, they're older. It's like, I mean, 78, that's 40 years ago. 40 years, your sound's going to change, even if you don't want it to. Eddie, I heard, still can kind of play pretty well. Roth, I think he's, like you said, he's got to go down a register or so.
But it's respectable.
And that's fine, yeah. The logistics of it, I'm not concerned about. I just like, since they don't sound like that anymore, as
right.
good as they used to. And, I mean, I love Van Halen, but I guess I'm just happy listening to the old albums. My point being, as far as Michael Anthony goes, I don't really care.
Okay,
I have
fair
nothing
enough.
Against Michael Anthony. Nothing against him at all. He seems like a decent guy. Reasonable bass player. I remember when I saw him on the 5150 tour, he was running around with that Jack Daniels bass like a maniac. And he just felt like, he's not even playing, he's just like banging it. And I thought, this is kind of silly. Like, why do they have this guy do this?
Mm-hmm.
But I've never had anything against the guy.
Sure.
I just don't have anything for him. So it's like, if he's not in the band, what do I care?
Well, I will tell you this. I've seen him on both tours.
Uh-huh.
Reunion tour with Dave. Dave was better than Eddie. Eddie was sloppy.
Yeah, I remember you said you saw him two different times, and one, Dave was the better guy, and the other, Eddie
exactly.
was the better guy.
Last time I saw Eddie, he was a freaking monster.
That's pretty cool. And when was, how long ago was it?
It's probably been 3 years since they toured, right?
So as of 3 years ago, and that's not that long ago in band time.
Right.
He was still kicking ass.
He was.
That's
He'd
impressive.
Gotten better than the time I'd seen him previous, 2 years prior, or 3 years prior to that.
So we know he's
still
got it. Looks
like they're on a 3-year cycle to tour.
Yeah, so we know he's still got it, which is cool.
Oh, yeah.
So I can respect that.
Imagine if Dave, and one thing that bothered me about Dave, he's gone to the wireless mic.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I like him holding the mic back
and doing all the stuff.
Yeah.
Because that was a big part of his deal.
Yeah, it's all the shtick, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I like Dave out front with that mic.
That's the thing. If you take the Dave-ness away from Dave, then what do you got?
Right.
So he has to do. I mean, I know he's not going to be able to jump up and do the spinning kicks and shit.
Sure.
I mean, it's 40 years have gone by. I'm not expecting that. So, but still, you're right. You take away all those sort of things, and you don't have a whole lot left.
Right.
I don't mind at all that he sings low or whatever. I think, like we've talked before, it's smart to say, this is my range, stick
to it. He was one
of
the first guys that I saw take it down an octave. Don Dawkins done it respectably. We talked about I saw Slaughter the one time, and Mark Slaughter sounded horrible.
And if you go down an octave, that's the best, because then they can kind of stay in the right. same key. You're just, your voice is lower, that's
which
all.
We're going to tackle, that's going to be the second part of our topic here.
Okay.
We're going to talk about another iconic band.
Okay.
And what they should be doing live these days, or if they are doing something live, what right. they should be doing. You know what I'm saying?
So we've talked about the Van Halen thing. You said there was another piece of news that I think wasn't necessarily news, but...
Well, I wonder if we should do a beer.
You want to change
why
a beer
we,
out?
Why don't we play a Van Halen classic song with Dave?
I like that. I like that.
You got anything in mind? I got one.
Yeah,
you
go.
Top Jimmy?
Ooh, there you go.
I love the Top Jimmy.
That's a good song.
Let's do it. So we're on beer three for this show. The end of the, what do we call this, a showdown or a knockdown? Or
it's almost like a beer tour flight or something.
A flight.
A so, knockdown. It's like, you're thinking of fighting or something.
So anyway, last beer for this show. And we're going to do two here at the Buffalo Bayou Brewing Company. So free plug for them. If they're listening... What's up? All right. So anyway, Wake and Bake is what we're doing now, which is actually it's a blonde. It's
yep.
a kind of a coffee blonde mixed with some vanilla.
And, basically, you said you had a taste and you were like, holy crap.
Yeah, pretty
freaked
much.
Freaked out, Holmes.
Pretty much. So tell me what it's all about, Genghis.
He is the official from the website. Wake and Bake. Wake and Bake is a perfect blonde, rich, light, sweet, and interestingly complex. Oh, it's a perfect blonde. Rich, light, sweet, and interesting complex. Infused with the Maya Roasted Company's Temperada Espresso and vanilla, this crisp golden blonde will tickle your tongue and nibble your nose. The tasty notes are rich coffee aroma, as fragrant as your morning pot, with a residual vanilla sweetness and a smooth, crisp body, because we all know what Wake and Bake means. Obviously, it's a marijuana reference.
Ooh.
Ooh. This one says, I had two bowls for breakfast. One was cereal. He's making a joke. It's a pot joke, Holmes.
How dare you, sir?
I know. Damn it. That's illegal, sir. So this one, I mean, the normal is 5.4. Is that what this one is?
Yeah.
Okay.
5.4.
So all right. Yeah, this is just a golden blonde coffee. So what do you think? I mean, as far as the look, that sucker looks like. It looks like the champagne of beers, Holmes.
It's a party beer, Bob.
Nice
three
little,
and a half.
Looks like a urine sample is what it looks like.
Kind of a little bit, yeah.
So, but it's a, I give that like a three, maybe.
Yeah, three.
Nice little lacing, kind of a sudsy lacing.
Doesn't get you hot, I mean, excited.
Hello. Let's get a little.
This is a Wake and Bake, you
Oh, wow, that is a Wake and Bake. Smell that.
That smells good.
That's
I
a nice, rich coffee smell.
Nice
I like
little
that.
Four.
Yeah, I give a four on that. Let's go for it.
Cheers. That's tasty. You get the vanilla at the very end.
Well, it's again, it's this idea of having something that's blonde, that's kind of hoppy, but with coffee. It's a weird combination, but this one works.
You know what? It's almost like a cream ale. And I want to say that
like
just
a coffee cream ale kind of.
Yeah, because the vanilla. To me.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
That's what I think.
Over there. So not bad. It just looks like I'm drinking a urine sample. It's kind of grossing me out. But it tastes good. I like
John's
it.
John's nowhere nearby.
Thankfully. It's the only way I can say that in confidence. He would have had a feel.
That's tasty. I like that, man.
That's good.
A solid three and a half for me.
I think they mean it when they say a wake and bake. There's not a lot of beers. It's not a great idea to be waking up and drinking beer. But if you did, this would probably be the kind of thing you'd have.
Well, you know, a few years ago, I think breakfast beers were a thing.
Yeah.
Where they started infusing coffee.
I've heard of that shit. Yeah, breakfast beer.
Sierra Nevada's got a nice little kind of coffee.
There's even
beer.
That one. It's I think they call it a shower beer or whatever. You ever heard of those?
Huh.
Where literally it's like when you're, because I had this once back in college, where you wake up, you got the terrible hangover from party the night before, and you're in the shower with the beer, just like, I got to get the hair of the dog just to get me out of this house. So that's, it kind of reminds me of that.
Well, I like this one. I'm impressed.
Not too shed. So what do you think, a mouthfeel? You give it a 3?
It's watery.
It's a little funky.
A little funky, yeah.
I mean, when they say for mouthfeel, when you're tasting or doing a review or whatever, they say for mouthfeel, part of what you're looking for is, does the style of the beer, does the mouthfeel fit the style?
I got you. You
know what I mean? Like, if it's supposed to be a stout, does it really feel like a stout? Or does it, watery doesn't feel like a stout, for instance?
Right, exactly. In a blonde?
So being a blonde,
you would
coffee,
always think a blonde would be a bit more richer.
Yeah.
This is almost more like a cream ale or a lager to me.
Yeah.
Or pilsner. A lager, a pilsner.
Good point, yeah.
So mouthfeel, it is a bit more watery, so maybe a 3.
Yeah. And then taste, I give it a 3.5 maybe.
Yeah, 3.5. Not strong 3.5 on taste.
Is the munchkin studying up on the makeup videos there?
She's watching Glee now. It's just scary. You know that's John's favorite show?
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
He tried, I heard, to audition for the show several times.
Yeah, several times.
Didn't get the call back.
Well, part of it was due to age, and the other part was wardrobe. I mean, he didn't know how to go to an audition.
Yeah, refused to wear anything that he didn't pick out himself.
Exactly. He's like, I'm wearing my custom clothes.
Yeah, I bring my own stuff. Like, that's just how I roll.
Probably not a good idea, but...
Yeah, not with John.
He goes, what's that supposed to mean? I was like, you read into it what you want, pal.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to
look in the mirror, wise guy. Tell me you don't see the problem.
He didn't listen to anybody but John.
Yeah, exactly.
Or McCheese. He doesn't McCheese.
That's the only guy that can rein him in.
Yeah, pretty much. So, what is it, a 3 or 3.5?
Give it a three.
So nothing's blown us away yet.
Yep.
So out of the 3 that we've had,
good question.
What's your favorite?
Where are we sitting? We started with the
citrus.
The citrus. And then we had the vanilla mocha sunset.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. That might be my favorite. This would be the second, I think. And then the citrus, the third.
You know what's weird? When I had the sample, I liked it better in the sample. But when I got the full pour, I like it, but not as much as I like the sample.
Okay.
I tasted more vanilla in the sample.
Fair enough.
Did you? Or you didn't have the sample?
It says that it's got the vanilla, but I don't... Yeah. I mean, there's a little bit of vanilla on the back.
I tasted it up there.
There's a little bit of vanilla on the back.
Yeah. So, oh well.
Not that you want it to be loaded with vanilla or anything. A blonde with vanilla sounds weird.
Okay, so we're going to jump in to a band in another current news story. Next show, we're going to do topics. This one, we're doing a little bit of news.
Which is bullshit.
Because there's hot news on the press.
Off the presses.
Rush is like, and thank God Eddie's not here. Holy shit. Hold on, my phone's ringing. It's fucking Trump. I'm not answering it.
Don't answer.
Screw him. So, anyway, how does he have this telepathic...
He just, his ears start burning whenever somebody's... Which means they're constantly burning.
Because no shit.
Everyone's talking about Trump.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
In his mind.
So apparently he talked to Geddy Lee a week or two ago. Or by the time you hear this, 6 weeks ago. Rush was breaking up, which any real rock fan knew, or that has broken up after the last tour. They were done.
Cool.
Except for the possibility of maybe a studio record, no touring, maybe a show. But,
and even then, I was like, nah, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, it was pretty much, well, our 40 were done.
Yeah.
Before we jump,
it's a great place to stop. Even 40 done.
Good. Yeah, I agree.
Same with Motorhead, right? They kind of stopped at 40, didn't they?
No, they were still going.
They still had like an hour or two.
They were still going.
I mean,
yeah.
I remember the video we saw. It's like it wasn't going
he
so great.
He looked bad, right?
Yeah.
Right. So before we jump into this story, let's play some Rush. What do you think?
Sorry, I'm jamming a yes over here. Gosh, there's so many great songs. I like Everyday Glory off of Counterparts.
Okay, let's do it. The reason I wanted to bring this up was I put in R40, and I love fucking anime. And is that what Allegiant?
Yeah,
they do such
a
great
killer cover of that. Yeah, they rock
of anime. Why don't we play that?
Oh,
I think
yeah.
We played that before.
Hell yeah!
And then we'll do. You get a two for Tuesday.
All right.
Anyway, Geddy Lee goes on Eddie's show and basically says, hey, you know, we're done. Neil's really done. He doesn't even have a set of drums in his house anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, you don't even know.
Yeah.
Never happened.
So, in truth be told, it wasn't just on Eddie's show. He was doing the rounds. He's got a book coming out or something like that. So, of course, Eddie's going to tell you that Eddie made news everywhere. I don't know how this stuff happens. You know what I'm saying?
Sorry,
he's doing the air guitar to the Reverend Raven.
Trevor is just rocking it in.
Oh, dude, 2019 supposed to be a new ARW record.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, me too.
Because that video we saw was just blowing my mind. I was like, I forgot how awesome these guys are.
Fucking phenomenal.
Exactly.
I watched it again after you left, too.
Not
that night, but like the next day.
I need to pick it up. I'll only pick it up myself because it was so good.
Really good, yeah. So, anyway, so Getty's kind of saying, you know, we're done. Alex and I may do something, but other than that, Neil's checked out. They're not going to go with Rush because Rush is all three of those guys.
Because I think it's not that he was soured on it, but you could tell Neil was kind of like, I'm just not feeling it, dude. He's not a dude that's like, I got to do music to live. And I think ever since his wife died and all that, he's been kind of like, I've done it for decades of my life. I can easily retire.
He's
got money.
Arthritis. He's got medical
problems.
Yeah,
so he's like, and it's hurting. It's like, why do it? It's like, I don't have to keep doing this.
Right.
Like Scorpions or Ozzy, where like I do it till I keel over. He's like, I don't have to.
But you know what?
I respect that.
Are you, I mean, I would love, if Rush came back and said, we're doing a tour, I'd go.
Of course,
but
I'd see it.
I'm content with where they are.
Let me ask you this, though, in relation to that. Do you think Rush, whatever, do a tour as Rush without Neil Peart? And that's what I fear. That I don't think they would out of respect for Neil, but if they did, would you go see him? Because my answer is no.
What if Portnoy's behind the drums? And that's the only guy that could probably do it.
Well, no, because, I mean, there's a lot of really good drummers.
Oh, yeah, that's
I mean,
true, that's
Paul
true.
Craddock from, I think that's his name, from Enchant. He had a real Neil Peart sound to him. I think his name's actually Peart, as I said. But point is, even Mike Mangini, there's a lot of really good drummers out there. So I'm not surprised somebody could play. I mean, guys that grew up playing all those songs.
I would think Portnoy would be the guy they would choose.
He would love to do it, and think he'd do a great job.
But would
my
you
thing
go
is,
with Portnoy?
Rush is those three dudes, end of story. Yeah, sorry. I just couldn't do it.
Portnoy's behind the kit. You're not going.
Can't do it. I mean, it sounds, you're kind of the way you keep pushing it. I'm like, that kind of sounds like it wouldn't be bad. But no, I've seen Rush, and I've seen him with Neil, seen him several times.
I'm content with the last show.
Exactly. Why spoil it, you know?
If they came with Portnoy, I would highly consider it. Or just an equal drummer. I don't know. It'd be a hard call.
Because I get where you come from in the sense that it's not impossible that you could find a guy who could play all the Neil Peart parts. There's plenty of guys that are talented enough to note for note play everything. But for me, it's the loyalty to the guys. Those three dudes are Rush, man.
Did you ever see the making of Moving Pictures? Like a little DVD documentary thing?
No.
You're going to be blown away. I might have told you this before. But Neil Peart said, the hardest drum he's ever done in a song was for Tom Sawyer.
Really?
Yeah.
It was killing me.
Yeah, he said, the hardest drums I've ever done in a song were when we did recorded Tom Sawyer.
That's wild.
And if you really, once you hear that, listen to the drums, there's a lot of shit going on,
I've seen covers of it, like that Natal Cohen, the chick drummer out of California.
Uh-huh.
She does a lot of cover videos, and she did a Tom Sawyer cover video. And she knocked it out. I was like, oh, okay.
But so Neil was like, dude, that was one of my hardest things that drum wife's ever do.
When did he say it?
I don't remember when they did that documentary.
Okay. Because
I think it was years
it like,
after.
Yeah. So if he said it like in the 90s or something, I'm like, well, that was 20 years ago. Surely he's done something more impressive than that since then.
Well, yeah. If you look at Rush, they start off simple and then very technical and then simplistic again.
Right.
So,
especially in like the Grace Under Pressure or the real synthy stuff.
Or
it wasn't
even,
that.
I mean, was there a lot of stuff going on in Snakes and Arrows that was crazy? Probably
I've
not.
I've never listened to Snakes and Arrows. I wouldn't know. I never wanted to hear
so,
it.
So that's a good question. I haven't thought about that, to be honest. But I think I would pull the plug on Rush where we pulled the plug based on what I saw in R. Porter.
Okay.
It may be called a sacrilege, I don't know. And people have talked about Getty's vocals over the years.
Yeah.
And I respect that the Rush R40 video, you could tell that thing's really live. No touch-ups.
Huh?
Because Getty's vocals are spotty in a lot of areas.
Wow.
I don't remember that when we saw him. I will say this, though. the last show we saw with Rush on the R40 tour, I didn't feel like they were totally into it.
Okay.
But I've seen other videos where they seemed like they were more into it.
Not
maybe
into
it was
it?
Alex. Maybe Alex was off that night in Houston. I don't know. It didn't look like he was having a lot of fun.
Oh, really? That's too bad.
To me.
I never noticed it, but I'm not discounting you. If you say you saw that, I'm not saying you're wrong.
Yeah.
I just never noticed it. I was too busy just jamming, dude, because I just love the stuff.
But I'm with you. I think, in reality, even if Portnoy's behind the drum kit, I'd probably have to take a pass just to say, you know,
like
Getty's vocals
spoil.
Just aren't there anymore. And
that too.
I mean, if they were rough 2 or 3 years ago, unless his voice isn't that much rested, or if they decide to kind of go down an octave, like we talked with Roth.
Right.
You know,
that's
maybe
the thing.
It's
I like
a better
going
thing.
Out. Doing it the way they did it. Like, I'm cool
but if
with
Getty
it.
And Alex did something, a tour, it wouldn't be arena. It'd probably be like House of Blues and
yeah,
stuff like
that.
Yeah,
as a separate thing, yeah, I'd go see that.
But I would go.
Because I'd be curious to know what it's like, yeah.
I'd go in a heartbeat.
Because imagine that. Now, here's a thing. Imagine if Geddy Lee, Alex Lifeson, and Mike Portnoy form a new band.
Yeah.
And then go do an album, then do a tour. I'd be all over that.
Hold on, my phone's ringing. Yes, Eddie. I know you probably get, dude, talk about it on your show, okay? Not our show. I'm hanging up now. I'm hanging up.
That's how you have to do.
Okay.
I mean, that's probably what his mother says. I'm hanging up now, Eddie. I've had enough. Bingo is starting.
He said that he's already got them in talks with Portnoy, and they're going to be the Vinery Dogs.
Or the Maple Dogs.
The Maple
Dogs. The Maple Serum Dogs, Holmes.
Yeah, hey, you made somebody laugh, Holmes.
Exactly, Holmes. Nah,
so,
I did.
Anyway, I think we've belabored that topic.
Probably.
But honestly, okay, last question to you before we jump into classic here.
Huh?
Do you go see Lifeson and Lee on their little solo thing? Our new band? They call it Rash, like we joked about.
Right.
From R30.
If it's all new music, damn straight. If
play
it's just them playing old Rush songs, I mean, they probably will throw in one or two. But if it's mostly Rush songs, then I don't need to hear a Rush cover band, even if it is Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson.
But you know what they would probably do?
What?
If Geddy and Alex did something, they would probably play some of their solo stuff. It's probably they've never played live together.
Oh, okay. So what, Vapors?
With
or
the new stuff,
yeah.
With maybe a Rush song or two. I'd be down with that.
I mostly want to hear new, so yeah. If it's new stuff, I'd be interested to hear it.
I have not been impressed with Geddy or Alex's solo material at all.
And that's the thing. The other scary thing is if they feel like, well, I'm unshackled by the Rush thing, we can literally do whatever we want, and who knows what direction they go in, because for all you know, yeah, it's like, I've always wanted to do like a world music album or some bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, sorry, guys. It'd have to be like a rock, prog, fusion kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I wouldn't be into it.
Oh, dude, if they got totally technical again,
that'd be
badass.
Dude. Yeah.
And which leads me into my Rush song I was going to play, Viva La Stragliata.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's play that.
All right. We'll be right back.
I'd love that.
La Via Sargento.
Did I say it wrong?
Yeah, Viva La, like Viva Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas. Yeah.
Nice.
I had too much beer, Holmes.
I am hip to that. I'm going to do, since we're talking about Portnoy and such, and Prague, let's go with Transatlantic. I like that band he had with Neil Morse.
Nice.
As far as I know, they might still do some stuff as Transatlantic.
I know Neil Morse does some stuff, too. And I've heard, didn't you tell me that Transatlantic may be doing something new with Petrucci?
I don't know. I mean, Portnoy doing something with Petrucci? I don't know. I think that they could. I mean, I would love to see Liquid Tension Experiment do another album just for the hell of it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Liquid Tension.
Yeah, that would be great. That'd be all about that. I haven't heard that that's happening, but I think that, I guess I got excited by a recent Instagram post from Mike Portnoy. I follow him on Twitter. And he posted a thing where his family, the Portnoys, and John's family, the Petrucci's, were all sort of hanging out together in New York around Christmas time. And I was like, oh, they're still buddies. Like, they could still get it together and do something together again. That would be great. Even if they formed a whole new band and just did some crazy shit together. I mean, imagine a new trio with, forget Liquid Tension Experiment, just Portnoy, Petrucci, and, I don't know, some bass player.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Some?
Well, any bass player.
He's everywhere.
I don't know. Mendoza.
Oh, dude. Stu Hen.
Oh, that would be wild.
Yeah.
Dude. That would be some cool shit. That's what I mean. Matt, how about this? Does this sound crazy? John Petrucci, Mike Portnoy, and Tony Franklin. Exactly,
dude.
Right?
Well, dude, speaking of Franklin and... We're not even talking about Blue Murder or Sykes, but that was going to be the original winery dump, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Sheehan and Portnoy.
They were working on
but
a thing,
but apparently,
yeah.
Carmen Appice, Tony Franklin are going to be the backup band for Vinnie Vincent when he plays in February.
Bullshit.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
So Vinnie's back.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And Robert Fleischman's in and out. He's getting screwed on the deal or whatever, but we'll see if he comes back, but... That should be interesting to see what happens with that in February.
And then they bring in Paul Stanley for vocals. Like, why?
Exactly. So, did you play the song? Did you pick a song?
No, I didn't actually pick a song. So anyway, getting back to the song, Transatlantic, let's do We All Need Some Light. That's probably my favorite off that album.
Let's do it.
Some light now.
classic. I'm going to go with the band I had played a while back, but they came up on the iPod, was digging it the other night. A little Heavy Petting of Letting Loose.
Nice.
Love Times Love.
Petting
and I was telling
letting.
The Metal Monster, they were supposed to be the next Def Leppard, but just never broke. And they got the fame of Def Leppard. And congratulations, Def Leppard, to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Nice.
That's cool. But, yeah, Love Times Love. Let's do it. Son, you got a pick of the week?
Yeah, I was jamming to some Haken. They had their new album, Vector, came out like in October, end of October. Mill by Mouth is a crazy prog metal instrumental, dude, that'll blow your mind. So it's good shit, so check it out.
Let's do it.
Tough guy.
I got a band that's been floating around the old iPod over there. The band's called Black Ink River. Don't know a lot about them. They got a brand new record that came out in September called Headstrong. And I was jamming a song called Useless the other day. Really cool, kind of a retro 70s type thing. Really dig it.
I'm hip.
Let's check it out. We'll be right back.
Well, that's it. There it is. Part one of the Buffalo Bayou Brewery Tour.
Is in the books. Voice. Buffalo Bayou Brewery Tour. Dork.
So, we got an interview for you. And until next time, we want to give you two big holds up.
This is Jamie from Roxanne, and you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show. Horns up.
Live with Ragman, Mono E Mono, with a band that I have been a fan of for 30 years, and I don't think a lot of guys remember them, but we're going to give you some memory lessons today. I'm talking about Roxanne. They had some hits in the late 80s, and we've got Jamie Brown with us today. Jamie, welcome to the Genghis and Ragman Show.
Hey, Alan, thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem, man. No problem. I got to say, that first record was kind of a sleeper, and it kind of hit at a time where you hit the tail end of the kind of 80s hard rock thing before grunge hit. But kind of take us to, you know, what you guys experienced at the time and then kind of what happened. You guys have been gone for about 30 years. So kind of tell me what's been going on for the last 30 years.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, you are correct. That record came out in 88, and there wasn't much life left in the type of music we were doing at that point. We did a little tour to support that record, and we played around L.A. and, you know, the southwestern part of the United States for a while. And I just kind of lost faith in the music industry as a whole and what sort of future it held for us. So one of the songs we had on that record was a cover of Wild Funky Music. And we had actually gotten quite a bit of airplay on that song because we did two versions, the dance remix version and the straight-ahead rock one that was on the record. And we'd always been a band. We played covers to support ourselves over the years, but never like contemporary covers, but more like we would play Partridge Family and pick up the words, disco songs, disco songs we could think of, and kind of do rock and roll versions of it. And then with the success of that song, we decided, you know, why don't we try doing a whole disco show? So we actually started a band called the Boogie Nights.
Oh, really?
And Nights is, yeah, Nights is spelled with a K. And basically that was the beginning of the whole kind of dress up in costumes and cover different musical genres. So we started that in 1992. And it took off so fast, we couldn't fill the amount of work that we were getting. So that's basically what we've been doing for 30 years.
Would you say the Boogie Nights is kind of like maybe a precursor to like a Steel Panther, maybe?
I could say a lot more than that, but I'm not going to.
Oh, wow, there's a bigger story. Well, you know, I didn't even know about that, so that's interesting. Because, I mean, it sounds like you guys hit on something and then grew from it, especially doing this disco with a rock edge. Did y'all ever release anything, or is it more of just kind of a live extravaganza thing?
Yeah, we did. We did put out a CD. I don't remember what year it was, maybe 94, 95, sometime around then. No, actually, it might have been a little bit later. Yeah, it's called Welcome to the Jungle Boogie, and it's the Boogie Nights. And at that point, I had just started doing the business, and Jeff Scott Soto was the lead singer for the Boogie Nights.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. Oh, yeah, I do remember him doing a disco thing, because we've talked to Jeff a few times. I think I asked him about that, but it's been quite a few years ago.
Yep. That's what we did. We did that. We still do it even today, and then we spawned off a bunch of other acts and have a business that does that sort of thing all over the United States. But Rat Pack gave us the opportunity to come back and do some original music, and we jumped on it.
That's awesome. Well, it was funny. I was listening to the record today, and you guys have always had kind of a little bit of a funky edge, and I thought, man, if they did Shining Star, how fucking cool would that be? I don't know if you guys play that at all, but I think y'all could do a killer version of that.
Yeah, that is one of the songs that we do in the Boogie Nights. So, in a sense, yes, we do it, but we don't do it as Roxanne.
Well, let me ask you this. So, was it Rat Pack that approached you guys to do Roxanne again, or was there something that you were like, you know what, it's been a long time. I think the timing's good now to try to reintroduce Roxanne to the rock world. Or how did that all come about?
I also have a background in film production, and I was doing music videos for Rat Pack.
Oh, okay.
And in the course of doing that, conversation came up about John Karabi, because he also does some, I don't know, I think he just does like solo stuff for Rat Pack, but I'm not sure. But John Karabi does some stuff with Rat Pack, and somehow the conversation got around to the fact that I had written Man in the Moon, which was the single off of the Screams record back in 91 with Karabi as a singer.
Right.
And so Rat Pack didn't even know that I was a musician at all. So the course of that conversation went from one to another. Yeah, that was the band Roxanne and blah, blah, blah. And that's where the idea sprung from.
That's awesome. Well, I got to tell you, like I said, and no bullshit here. I bought your album back in '88, and I would have to say my favorite song off the first record was "Nothing to Lose." Just a killer, killer freaking song. And actually, I've told a few artists this. I have something called Outdoor Jams, which is a somewhat family friendly little playlist that's on my iPod that we play. So now my 15-year-old daughter knows who Roxanne is by "Nothing to Lose," and I've been playing the new record. She's like, "Oh God, Dad, this is so awesome." But I just want to give you props, because I actually ended up buying it on CD about a year ago, because I only had it on vinyl. I was still buying vinyl when I guess the first record came out. So Yeah, I picked it up, and I forgot how great that record is. You kind of forget. So is there any thought of maybe, I mean, if this record does, Radio Silence does well, do you think you may re-release the first record at some point? Or?
I mean, that's a possibility. Scotty Brothers has been defunct for quite a while. And I did try to locate the masters before we released this one, and nobody can find them.
Oh, wow.
So in the event that somebody hears this and knows where they are, yes, let's get them, remix it, and re-release it.
Oh, there you go. You know, I recently interviewed Doug Aldridge, and we were talking about the Lion Days, and, yeah, he told me that Scotty Brothers thing did not turn out. In the end, didn't work out so well for anybody on the label, unfortunately, which was a shame, because there was from, I mean, you guys and Lion, two bands I'm real big fans of, so... But, you know, I think that came when you guys hit the end of that edge, like we talked about, and it was so saturated with bands, it was kind of hard to find, you know, those diamonds in the rough, or not even diamonds in the rough, but the gold at the bottom of the ocean type thing, just because there was so much, because there was just so much saturation. And I think that's what kind of killed the scene, in my opinion. I'm an old school guy, but... I'm just glad to hear you guys are back. When I heard that you guys are back, I go, no way.
that's kind of been the response from everyone. And then when they find out it's all the original members, like, you know, that's even more of a shock because that doesn't happen very often either.
No, not at all. Not at all. And, man, I was going to ask you about Man on the Moon because I really like the cover, but I didn't realize I was going to actually get my Scream record and go see who wrote it. And I was kind of curious. I was like, did they cover this from Jamie, or what's going on? So that's good to know. I didn't know you actually wrote that song. And your version of your song is really good.
Yeah, we had written that, or I had written that, plus one other song that's on the new record, A Quarter to Four. They were intended to be on the second Roxanne record. But when we gave up on that, they were just kind of sitting around, and I was playing in a band with a couple of the guys in the Scream, and Man of the Moon was one of the songs we had in our set. So then when they became the Scream, it wound up on the record. So I was happy to have that done.
That's awesome. Well, you know, Rat Pack, I think I know the answer to this question, but it looks like you got the guys from KXM to lend a hand. George Lynch, Doug Pennick on the record with you. Was that something that, I mean, working with those guys, if you shot some of the videos, is that something that you brought up to them, or was it a label's idea bringing those guys on to, you know, guest on a few tracks?
Well, you forgot Ray Rozier.
I was about to say that.
Yeah, Ray and I have been friends for about 20 years, and Ray was a Roxanne fan, and we stayed friends, and then when the KXM record was about finished, Ray said, hey, why don't you want to make our video? And sure, you know, so that's how I got brought in to Rat Pack was through Ray. So we shot Rescue Me, which was their first single, and then we did Gunfight, and I'm drawing a blank right now because I've only had 4 hours of sleep, but we wound up shooting 5 videos for KXM, and the process of doing that, I became friends with George and Doug, and George happened to live just a few miles from me, and so it was natural when we started doing a record that, you know, I tried to get my friends that made it possible to make an appearance.
That's
so
awesome.
Ray's playing drums on Man in the Moon.
Oh, that's killer, man. That's killer. Actually, Ray's a good friend of a guy that's a big friend of our show. He's done a lot of original music for us. So Tracy G, that he used to be with Dio, and him and Ray had been in a couple bands together. So, yeah, I've heard a lot of Ray's playing, and, yeah, he's real good to Tracy, too, whenever Tracy needs a hand with something. So, yeah, Ray's, we're very familiar with him on the show. I'm sorry. I just spaced out for a second. Talk about no sleep. I hadn't had any sleep in about 2 or 3 days. It doesn't feel like so. But anyway, man, let's jump into the record, Radio Silence. What a solid return, and I dare say this 30 years later, I think this is better than the original. I love the original record, the debut record, but you guys just hit it on every freaking song on this record, man. It's such a solid effort. Congratulations.
Thank you. That's nice to hear. I mean, our motivation for doing it was exactly that, to do a better record than the first time around. We kind of relinquished control, didn't, you know, we were 25 years old and didn't know really what we were doing, and we're all, you know, there's some things on there we like, but for the most part, we're not that proud of that record. So we just wanted to make one that we really could be proud of, and that's what is.
Well, you know what, I think the first record, I guess the only downside is I think the production might have been a little bit off compared to what the new record sounds like.
Yeah, you think so? Yeah, you know, and part of that is that we recorded the record at Scotty Brothers Studio in Santa Monica and then mixed the record in Denver at a different studio. And in that studio, it sounded normal, and then it went straight from there in the mail to being mastered, and none of us actually had a chance to hear it in any other source.
Oh, wow.
And as soon as we did, we're like, oh, no, and it was too late.
Oh, man, that sucks. That sucks.
Yeah.
Well, at least you had some marginal success with it. Just unfortunately, the timing was off by a few years with what was to come, you know. But I want to bring up a couple tracks on the record. The first one I saw the video for, and I see George ripping in the video as well, was Super Bad, but just a killer tune. I mean, you take George out of it, it's still such an awesome song. Do you have, is that something, I guess before we even ask, I ask you about that song, or is there anything left over the last 30 years where you maybe were writing that Roxanne record kind of several years ago and then you put to the side, or is this all pretty much fresh material?
No, everything is new there except Man at the Moon and A Quarter to Four. Everything was written specifically for this. There were no leftover riffs or ideas that we didn't get around to. It was all new.
Nice. Well, Superbad, again, a great song. Do you have a cool story about how that song came together for you?
Joe. The bass player, he brought in the riff. Everybody was assigned, okay, what do you got? You know, let's write some songs. And Joe brought in the main riff. And that's how that started. And then it kind of sat for a while because I couldn't figure out how do I put a chorus on top of this? And the one that we ended up with is about the fourth try. And when I got that one, okay, that's it. Now I'm happy with the song. The song almost didn't make the record because I wasn't happy with any of the choruses we had for it. And then the lyrics themselves, it's all car slang.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's all, you're not sure if I'm talking about my Camaro or I'm talking about one of the girls in the video.
There you go. Yeah.
But it's all car slang.
Nice. Well, it's a really killer track. And another one I want to bring up, and this is probably my favorite track. I keep hitting the back button on I Don't Want to Live This Way. What a killer song, dude. You have a story about that one, because, like I said, that was my favorite at the moment.
I don't want to live this way, pretending things will be okay. I wish I had the nerve to say I don't wanna live this way. I don't wanna live this way. The words get hotter every day. I wish you'd turn around and say, hey baby, I don't wanna live this way. I don't wanna live this way. If we
should walk away, but to end this pain, one has to be the first to say, I don't want to live this way.
That is another one that we worked and reworked and reworked. Almost didn't make the record because we weren't happy with how it was translating. Now we're happy with it. So I'm glad you like it. And it, when we sent the masters to Rat Pack, there was no particular order that they were uploaded. And that was the first one they downloaded. And I thought, I got an email about, you know, what's up with this song? And I thought, oh no, is it crap? And he goes, no, but you know, it's great. So I'm glad you liked it.
Well, you know, as a songwriter, when you have those challenging songs like that one and Superbad, you know, when it's all said and done, do they kind of become your favorites in a sense that it took kind of a little bit longer to get there?
Absolutely. And in fact, I Don't Want to Live This Way is the first song that we felt we had when we started writing for the record.
Oh, wow.
It's the first song we said, okay, all right, yeah, we got something there, and set it aside and started working on other things. That is the first one. And then it's one of the last ones we finished up because we didn't feel like we had it right.
You know what? In the right environment, man, that could be a huge hit, in my opinion, because it's just so catchy. It's got just such a great groove to it. It's a really, really killer song, man.
I appreciate that. You know, it's also good in there, and we opted to use a live string quartet. We didn't use keyboards for the string parts.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
That's actually the quartet sitting in the studio playing those parts.
That is killer, man. That is killer. Another one I want to bring up is Thin Blue Line, and that's another one that's got that chorus, man. It just sits in your head, and you can't help but singing while you're listening to the song. How did that song come together?
Is probably the second song that we wrote for the record. It was in the first batch of ideas, and you know, it was just a cool riff with the guitar detuned, and it started out kind of as a anti-politician politics kind of song, and ended up as kind of a pro police force kind of a song in the end.
Oh, nice.
So, hence the name Thin Blue Line.
That's killer, man.
Yeah.
Well, when you guys write, you know, how does it work? Are you guys all in a room, or are you sending files to each other, or how do you guys actually write? And actually, do you go in the studio and record, or is it more of, you know, files?
The way we did this is we would set dates to get together, and we would all meet in the studio, and everybody would bring in their ideas, either in their brain or recorded on their phones. And then we would hash out those ideas, and then we would record them as a band And I would take those ideas and try to turn those ideas into songs.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. Well, I hope I don't lose you here. I'm driving through the desert, so.
Oh, no problem, man. No problem. As far as, have you guys thought about doing some live shows? What are your thoughts as far as, I know the environment's not real favorable for touring unless you get on the right bill, but, I mean, shoot, if you guys could get on with Lynch Mob or another Rat Pack artist, that would be pretty awesome. But have you thought about maybe doing some live gigs?
Yeah, we would love to do that. I mean, essentially, we've been playing live for the past 30 years, so we're no stranger to it, so it wouldn't be odd. But, you know, people have to be interested in the record and interested in seeing those songs perform live, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if that happens, then we'll be there.
What kind of reception have you gotten to the record so far? Has it been all pretty positive reviews so far?
We've only had one actual review. Today is release day, and we've only had one actual review, and it was a positive review. So I'm hoping that there are more to come.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, we'll definitely be promoting it here at the Right to Rock for sure, man. And that'd be awesome if we could see you live. And you'll have to give me a call. We can discuss set list.
Hey, yeah, I told another guy who I was talking to about it. I said, I'm too close to it. So you listen to it, listen to the old one, and you put together a live set list for me.
Hey, man, I'll help you out on that if you'll take it, that's for sure.
All right, we'll do it.
I know you're aware we may lose you here shortly. One real quick question. As far as, you know, when you were recording this and you brought some of the other guys in, I mean, what was it like bringing in like a Doug Pennick on Go Fuck Yourself and singing with Doug kind of back and forth? Did y'all do that in the studio, or did he send something in? How was that dynamic?
Yeah, he came into the studio. It was awesome. He made me want to go redo my vocals because I had already done my parts. And then he came in and did his parts. And said, okay, now we got to redo mine because he's so great. But they wouldn't let me. And what was the first part of the question?
Oh, I just wonder what the dynamic was, you know, because working with another guy in the studio, you know, doing the vocals and stuff. So
I've been a huge King's X fan from Out of the Sign of Planet, the first record. So it's kind of a dream come true that I could get Doug Pennick not only on my record, but I'm doing a duet with Doug Pennick. I don't care if I'm the only guy in the world with a copy of it. I have a copy of it.
It's awesome. Yeah, we're. I don't know if I told you this, but we're in Houston, Texas. So yeah, we've seen King's X several times and had Doug on the show several times. So and it's 60. I think he's 60, 61. For him to still sing the way he's singing is just mind blowing.
Yep. Yeah. In fact, you know, I sent it to him so he could do it at home, and then you know he just said, you know, I'm never going to get this done unless I come in the studio. He was unhappy with everything he was doing. I was like, come on in. And he came in and it was like, I don't know what the problem is. It all sounds great to me. You're done. You can go home now.
Perfectionist. I think that's what it is. But, Doug's awesome, man. Doug is awesome. I know they're actually going to be doing a little tour towards the end of the year, so I'm looking forward to seeing them. But JB, it was awesome to meet you and talk to you here about your new record. Before we let you go, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans out there?
Oh, what would I tell the fans? If you're still there, thank you. If you're new, thank you. Pick it up, give it a listen, and tell me what you think.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie, we want to thank you for coming on the Genghis and Ragman Show here on therightrock.com, and we want to tell the fans to grab Roxanne's brand-new record, first one in 30 years, Radio Silence, out now on Rat Pack Records. This thing kicks ass. I swear to it. Every song's a winner, no filler. It's all killer, my friends. Jamie, thanks so much for coming on. It was really cool talking to you, man, and welcome back.
Thanks, Alan. Horns up. We'll be right back.
This has been Gingus
and Ragman,
and you've been listening to the Right to Rock podcast, and we appreciate you listening, and we want to give a big thank you to Tracy G, who is the third unofficial member of the group. We appreciate all of his work, especially the Broken Man song, which is a theme song to the Right to Rock podcast.
And also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X. Adam and Joseph have lent us 13 to finish the show, so what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out and keep checking us out. And horns up.